Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But the older brother was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" This is the good news of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, about 5 or 6 years ago, we were studying this parable in our adult Bible class. And Suzanne King's brother, Artie, came to class one Sunday. And he'd not been attending class, and he was completely unfamiliar with this parable. Well, I started the class that day by reading the parable again. And as soon as I was done, Artie blurted out, "That stinks!" One thing I appreciate about Artie is that he speaks his mind. So I turned to Artie and I asked him, "What stinks, Artie?" His answer was brilliant. He said, "It's not fair! It's not fair! That one guy didn't do anything, and he got nothing. He did nothing wrong, and he didn't get anything. And that other guy got a feast." Artie's answer was brilliant because Artie saw the parable. He understood the parable as it was seen and understood by its original audience. Most of us don't. And we miss the point. A lot of us hear the parable of the prodigal son and we're overcome with sentimental feelings. We love the part when the father runs to welcome back his wayward son and the father throws a robe around him. We love it when the father puts a ring on the son's finger, marking him as a member of the family. Again, despite everything that he'd done. And a lot of us remember our own sinfulness back then. We can relate. We were lost, and now we're found. All of us, former younger sons and daughters, prodigal sons and daughters, are filled with gratitude. God has forgiven and saved us. God saved a wretch like me. I love this parable. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy. But here's what's interesting. The people to whom Jesus was speaking when he told this parable reacted very differently than most of us do. They reacted like Artie. It's not fair. In fact, those people to whom Jesus was speaking directly were enraged. Enraged. Why? Well, look at the first sentence of our gospel lesson. It says, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. Who were the tax collectors and sinners? Mostly people rejected by society, like Zacchaeus in Luke 19, who was ridiculed and hated. He was a tax collector who cheated his fellow Jews to enrich himself. Or people like crazy, demon-possessed Mary Magdalene. Or people who were just sick or blind or disabled. People who were a little frightening, like lepers, whose limbs were rotting away. Or people considered grossly immoral, like the prostitute who crashed the party at Simon the Pharisee's house in Luke 7. Or the woman caught in the very act of adultery, almost stoned to death until Jesus intervened in John 8. Those were the kind of people who were drawing near to Jesus, the kind of people most of us don't associate with. But unlike us, Jesus welcomed them, even ate meals with them, which was significant in that culture. The Pharisees and scribes, on the other hand, the other half of Jesus' audience, they were the opposite of the sinners and tax collectors. They were the elites of society and the most religious. They went to church, and it was to those people, the scribes and Pharisees, that's who Jesus was speaking to when he told the parable. Jesus was speaking to the most religious, not the sinners and tax collectors. Jesus was speaking to the churchgoers, people like us, you and me. That's why this parable is important for us. And in this parable, we don't like this, but we're not represented by the younger son. That's not who we are for the most part. Maybe a few of us, maybe a lot of us once were younger prodigal sons or daughters, indulging in sex, drugs, and rock and roll, but now we've come to Jesus. And God's forgiveness is spectacular. But even us who were prodigals once, that's not who we are today. Not most of us. I'm not saying that most of us don't struggle with sin. I know that all of us struggle with sin every single day. What I'm saying is, When you read this parable, you're not the younger son. Instead, in the parable, you're represented by the older son. And we do not like that one bit, because we don't like him. At the end of the parable, we see that the older son is just as self-centered, just as ungrateful, just as presumptuously arrogant as the younger son was when he asked for his father's inheritance in advance. The biggest difference between the younger son and the older son is that the older son's extreme bitterness makes him even uglier. And on top of that, at the end of the parable, there's no resolution. The younger son received forgiveness and was reconciled with the father. We never do find out what happened to the older son. Did he join the celebration of his brother's return? Did he go into the party or not? We don't know. The sad truth is, older sons and daughters withhold forgiveness. Older sons and daughters lack joy and peace. Older sons and daughters hang on to anger and disappointment. Older sons and daughters only pray when they want something. Sound familiar? Those of us in the church are called not to act or think like the older son, but instead to see ourselves as we really are. Deeply flawed, but also deeply forgiven and deeply loved by God. If we can see that clearly, we can't help but be grateful, humble, and joyful, like the younger son was in the arms of his forgiving father. A few years ago, Tim Keller, a pastor in New York City, wrote a book on this parable. And he makes the point that the definition of prodigal is recklessly extravagant. And he titled his book not The Prodigal Son, but instead he called his book The Prodigal God. And here's his point. It's God who is truly, recklessly extravagant in this way. He pours out mercy and kindness and love upon us who do not deserve it, us who cannot earn it. He's extravagant. He pours it out on the younger sons and daughters and on the older sons and daughters. So regardless of what difficulties we find ourselves in today, regardless of what challenges we face, whether they be of our own making or the result of circumstances beyond our control, we can also speak the words found in today's Old Testament reading from Isaiah 12, which says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, and I will not be afraid. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. God's recklessly extravagant love for you is especially evident when the father in the parable, who represents God, when the father in the parable wraps his son in a robe, as in a robe of Christ's righteousness, the son's rebellion, the son's arrogance, and his shame are hidden underneath this garment of salvation. And so is your rebellion and arrogance and shame hidden. And so is mine. Because we're forgiven and accepted by God. We belong to Him. And so He hears our prayers and responds to our cries for mercy. What a source of joy and peace for all sons and daughters, younger or older, all of us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see ourselves as we really are and receive your recklessly extravagant forgiveness and love. And in receiving that, be filled with gratitude toward you. And understanding our own unworthiness, also be filled with humility before you and before one another. Lord, give those gifts to us. Gratitude and humility. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.